Hello, Jerry?
Yes.
I said, hola, ¿qué tal? Oh, you thought you dialed Mexico by mistake.
Hi, how are you?
This is Ruthie.
Oh, hi, Ruth.
Hello.
I didn't know you spoke Spanish.
Pues claro que sí. ¿Cómo no voy a hablar español?
Oh, boy, you really got it down.
No, I learned English when I was about 5 or 6.
Jerry and I share grandchildren. Jerry's son married my daughter, and Jerry comes from a real entertainment family. In fact, Jerry, your first film role was what movie?
Braintree County.
With Elizabeth Taylor.
Oh, I loved Elizabeth Taylor.
Jerry.
Love her.
Jerry was both a Union soldier and a Confederate soldier because they were a little light in the budgets in those days. So he either died or won a battle, and then the next day
changed uniform.
Anyhow, Jerry was last vice president of ABC Television. And
you are related because your children are married.
That's correct.
Right.
How many grandchildren do you share?
3.
Well, give us names and ages. Come on.
Well, let's see. The oldest is Michael, and he's junior high school.
He's 12. He'll be 13 in May. And then there's Melody. Melody's a teenager. She just turned 10 in November. And Maxwell is 4, and he's a preschool dropout.
and going on 24.
4 going on 24, and he's already dropped out of preschool.
That's it.
Right.
That means he's going to be president.
He could be. He has all the markings of a great leader.
And with 2 grandfathers like you 2 behind him, I bet you he will be a great leader.
Jerry's last job, which he retired from, was as vice president of ABC Television.
Oh, my.
Publicity.
And in publicity and promotion. And since retiring, he's taken on learning all about computers, and in his own right, he's quite an artist, which he passed on to his son as well, who's a computer animator. And
wow.
His daughter is a filmmaker. Her second film was just sold to Showtime and will premiere on the 31st of March. And it's all about the old people who are still alive and the history of burlesque. And comedians and the people that entertained in the days prior to television, or even in some cases predating motion pictures. So pretty fine family.
I was hoping Kenny Rogers would come by and talk to our music director, John McEwen, and he didn't. So I'm waiting for him every day. I keep looking at the phone to see if I see Kenny Rogers. And you showed up instead. What a blessing. Let that be a lesson to you, Kenny. Get on over here quick.
Well, at one point we were neighbors in a little town here called Hidden Hills, but
really?
I'm not sure where Kenny's living now. This was predating his days before he became a real star.
What I hear about him that I admire tremendously is that he knows how to budget and he knows how to manage his money. He's a very good businessman.
Oh, that's terrific.
He is. You hear me, Kenny? I just said that. That means you got to come over to syndicatednews.net. Yes, I'm going to leave that in there. So tell me, you left ABC, and now you're working with your in-law.
Yeah, we're grandfathers-in-law.
Grandfathers-in-law.
That's it.
Isn't that wonderful? Jerry Heller. I've read about you, but I never thought in my lifetime that I would get to speak to you. I'm so impressed. What a wonderful... Marjorie, thank you. What a lovely thing you did here.
You're very welcome.
It's H-E-L-L-A-R-D, Heller.
Heller. This is just so touching. I just don't know what to say. I'm so grateful. What a beautiful day this has become. So now we get to talk about Ed Lajewski, and Marjorie gave me this beautiful history. I want to read it because we're going to use it as part of the recording. Mr. Ed Lajewski is a graduate of the University of Southern California and the California Institute of Art. He has performed as a soloist for major symphonies and philharmonic orchestras across the country. He also served as a pianist, arranger, and conductor and arranger for Roger Williams, The Temptations, The Coasters, The Chivons, Sha Na Na, Frankie Avalon, Peggy March, Leslie Gore, Johnny Mathis, Johnny Carson, Connie Francis, Robert Goulet, Andy Williams, Elvis Presley, and countless other musical artists. His compositions have been featured in over 30 television game shows, as well as this season's Fox television series, Glee. His compositions were performed by the Navy Chorus and Orchestra at President Nixon's funeral. In 2007, Ed Lejeski conducted both the world and international premieres of his Misa Americana at Carnegie Hall and the Sydney Opera House. Additionally, he conducted the international premiere of his latest work, The Songs of the Passover, at the 2009 Haydn in Vienna, Austria. He's currently the Director of Music Ministries at Westminster Presbyterian Church in Westlake Village, California. Now, this coming 4th of July, Mr. Lejeski takes the Salute to Valor Music Festival to Honolulu, where it's going to be performed on the USS Missouri. Now, Mr. Lejeski, you tell us the rest of the story.
Well, actually, it's kind of funny going back to my work at the church. But anyhow, I'd like to tell you about the Salute to Valor. This was an idea that I had, and I guess it all stemmed from when, during the late 60s, early 70s, I had an occasion to do some teaching. I really regard myself as kind of being a leader and a teacher. And I came up with the idea of trying to do a festival to celebrate our country and the many brave men and women who sacrificed so much for our freedom and without any political implications involved. And this was an opportunity. I'm carrying on this Salute to Valor in several different other venues. In 2014 will be the 70th anniversary of the landing at D-Day in Europe. And I intend to take a group of performers and singers and an orchestra to Europe and do concerts in England at the debarkation point where that crossing of the English Channel occurred, and ending up on the shores of Normandy with concerts there as well. And then what's after that? Gosh, I don't know. But the whole idea is to give people an opportunity of performing in places that they wouldn't ever get the opportunity of performing in. Performing for what I consider to be a really just cause.
And when I was making that announcement, these are your accomplishments.
Well, thank you.
I mean, the world knows it. This is not new. This is no surprise.
I publish also with the Hal Leonard Music Corporation. I've been with them for a little over 50 years now, although I'm still waiting for my 25-year pin. I haven't gotten that yet, but maybe it's in the mail.
Did you hear that? He wants his pin.
No doubt he'll receive it.
I think there's the added benefit also of being able to learn a little bit more about the culture of the people that you're performing for. And this exchange is really exciting. When we were in Vienna, for example, it was such a joy for us to perform with groups from Europe. When I conducted in the Sydney Opera House, we had 14 singers from Australia, from Sydney, who joined us. And seven of them now have followed me to Vienna and are coming with us to Hawaii as well. That's kind of an exciting thing. And not only have we become good friends, but so this opportunity of making friends across the other side of the globe and being able to share our musical talents together is really quite exciting.
And I can't wait. You are going to have this magnificent program in July, I understand.
Yeah, we're actually doing two concerts. The entire populace there in Oahu coming at the Blaisdell Center Concert Hall, which is the home of the Honolulu Symphony and Symphony Chorus. The hall seats 2,200 people. And that concert is free of charge. And then the following night, we will be appearing on the deck of the USS Missouri. Now, this is open to military and their families And at this point, it appears we've got about 2,700 people that have signed up and interested in coming in and participating. We'll be singing and performing right into the display of the fireworks that go off over the harbor. First time that that the Navy Department has allowed a full symphony orchestra and chorus to perform on board the ship. Of course, the ship that was the place where the armistice for World War II was signed in Tokyo Bay. We'll have approximately 150 singers and an orchestra of 72. Also, we're going to be featuring the Navy Wind Ensemble for the Pacific Fleet Naval Wind Ensemble. So here's an opportunity for us to mix with some of our service people and share music with them as well.
I was wondering, I understand that Margie was rehearsing and you came to visit her the choir where she was singing?
Yes.
Tell me about that.
Well, it was pretty exciting. I walked in not knowing what I was going to expect, and yet, my gracious, were these people putting passion into their singing. Directed by a very statuesque woman by the name of Angela Rosser, very nice, very cultured speaking voice, and a fine director, using all the skills of one of the best choruses I've had an opportunity to hear. They're doing this for the love of music, and you can see them just having so much fun with what they were involved in. So it was a real pleasure for me to share what we are doing and to invite them to come and join us and participate with us on this venture.
That's lovely. Are you going all over the nation?
Yes. We have, at this point, we have a master chorale from Orlando, Detroit Symphony Chorus, Oklahoma City, two performing groups from Arizona, quite a large Southern California contingency because, of course, that's where I live. But in addition to the people from Australia that are joining us. So, yeah, it's a real international kind of a group.
Tell us about that. That's very interesting. I'd love to hear about that.
My degree was in piano and composition, and I did my last professional playing as a performer at the Hollywood Bowl in Los Angeles in an all Gershwin program, the Rhapsody in Blue and the Concerto in F. And by the time I ended up, I started adding up how long it took me to learn these and master these two pieces, how much my tuxedo rental cost, how much gas I had to spend for the rehearsals, and I figured I made maybe 10 cents a month. It became pretty important for me to try to find a job, and I wasn't prepared to do anything except stay in music. I've been very, 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 very fortunate to have moved from pop, jazz, rock, to writing much more serious music, which I'm doing just because that's what I love and that's what I feel a call.
I'm very curious about what you did with Johnny Carson. What type of music did you write for him or for that show?
I first met him on I think the only movie he was ever in was with Connie Francis as a star. Do you remember the name of that movie with Jim Hutton? Jim Hutton, Connie Francis, and Johnny Carson played himself. And in this movie, Connie Francis was supposedly making an appearance on the Johnny Carson show. And this was just about the time that Johnny had a different musical director who was, I think, within that same year, was sent to prison for a while. Was it Skitch Henderson?
Yes.
Skitch Henderson. So I was actually Skitch Henderson's replacement and conducted the Tonight Show band at the time. So that was a very interesting relationship. And then I began teaching his son. Actually, I met his son in church, and I was conducting church choirs. And so we became friends through that. When I wrote my Misa Americana, my canvas was the following. I set myself up a goal of the fact that, number one, I would write this for full symphony and full chorus, not using any modern day synthesizers or drum set or whatever, so that I was really appealing to the what we'd call a highbrow music goer.
Certainly.
And at the same time, I decided I'd like to bring them a little closer to some of the things that I had learned. And so what I did in creating this particular piece was I used every American genre I could, but disguised it in such a fashion that you'd never believe that's what I did. So the primary emphasis of this piece is that the entire work, the 35-minute work, is written in the blues style. Now, it doesn't sound like it. As a matter of fact, it sounds quite classical. But as I take it apart and show people the elements that I use, they will see that, well, of course, the blues is only 12 measures with three chords. And you can disguise it in such a way that people would have no idea that's what they're listening to. So that was my canvas there. For the Psalms of the Passover, I happen to be reading through my Bible, and in Matthew and Mark, there's two references that Jesus and the apostles sang songs at the Last Supper.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, and I said, well, I wonder what they sang. You know, I think it's translated as they sang a hymn and then adjourned or something or other.
Right.
So I tried to discover what theologians have agreed that they did sing. And the agreement that came up was that they sang hymns number, or Psalms number 114 through 118. Well, now we have no idea what the melodic line was, and it may have been a lot of chanting. But we do know that the text was Psalm 114 through 118. So now I had my canvas delineated. I was going to write Psalm 114 through 118. I researched a little bit more and I found an old Greek scale. La da da do di da da do da do da do da do da do da da. Those were the only notes that I decided I could use. I couldn't use any note that was not in that scale. At the very end, in the Psalm 118, I bring forth a little tune that was written back in the 18th century by a friend of Haydn's, who was a rabbi, and this little tune was written to keep children awake during the Passover meal. Haggadya, Haggadya. Within that Greek scale as my driving force of the melodic line. So that's the kind of thing I'm working on and continuing to do for the Hawaiian Music Festival. I'm doing a fantasy on the naval hymn, Eternal Father Strong to Save. I chose that because of the fact that here we are in the harbor, the USS Missouri is docked right behind the Arizona Memorial, and so we have the Navy prominently represented. We're at the 70th anniversary of the bombing of Pearl Harbor, and so my piece has ended up to be about 12 and a half minutes, and it basically takes you through the time period of 4 o'clock in the morning up until about 9 o'clock in the morning. And the actual battle commenced a few minutes after 8 o'clock in the morning. And so I began painting tone colors of that night. Calm, before dawn. I let the audience know rather sneakily what time of year it is, because in the melodic, underneath this the sounds of the night, you hear a couple of references to tunes that you're certain you've heard before, but you're not quite sure where, until you finally put together that one is Silent Night and the other one is da di do do di da da da, Joy to the World. And so that now gives us a time reference. Here it is, early morning, and it's during the Christmas season.
Oh.
During the Advent season. The sun begins to gradually come up, the world begins to stir, and it's interrupted by eight bells, which tells us it's 8 o'clock in the morning. Right after the eight bells, you hear a little thematic motif that's, oh, I guess, reminiscent of da 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 da, the Jaws thing.
Oh, yes.
I have doo-dee-dop, doo-dee-dop, doo-dee-doo-dee-doo, doo-dee-doo-dee-doo-dee-dop, doo-dee-doo-dee, very low in the low strings. And it keeps gradually building. There's obviously some tension coming on, a lot of building up of tension and anxiety, and you're not quite sure what you're hearing. And then all of a sudden, we are into the full-blown battle, which doesn't last a long time. It was not a long battle for the first wave, and then there was a second wave, but I never get into that. The chorus sings at first, "The Eternal Father Strong to Save," as a morning hymn just as dawn is breaking. During the battle, the men come in with the second chorus in a halftime feeling. Da 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 dee da da. Against this, yabba dooba dabba 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 dabba. So there's a lot of anxiety and noise and percussion and everything else going on. And then at the culmination of this battle, we have the jubilant excitement of it's going to be okay. We're going to survive this, and the Lord is on our side. And that's the way the piece ends.
I think I'm going to cry.
It's marvelous, Ruthie.
That is so touching.
Anybody who happens to listen to this news broadcast, if they're in Hawaii during July of this year, July 3rd at the Concert House, we'd love to see you there.
You're very welcome. I was quite fascinated by Ed when I met him on Monday night. And I sat quietly for the hour and a half or so that he spoke, and it really moved my heart to hear the things that he was doing. So I thought it was newsworthy, Ruthie.
It's wonderful, and we get to put it on the air before anybody else.
That's right.
Oh, my, I'm underdressed. I'm wearing a sweater. Well, then I'm going to close by announcing all of us who were here, even those who were here in spirit. That's you, Mr. McEwen. We want to thank Mr. Jerry Hellard. He's actually the former vice president of ABC Networks. And Ed Lojeska, he's actually choir director to the world. Marjorie Fuentes, who's one of the best educators I know, who's going back to teaching because children need her. And, of course, we want to thank our music director, Mr. John McEwen.
Well, you know, Jerry, of course, is, you don't know this, but Jerry is the godfather of George Clooney.
I know. Tell me secrets. Tell me.
Really?
Tell me.
But his daughter is a fine filmmaker in her own right.
And, I know, but tell me secrets. I'll pay.
Have a good weekend.